Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a weekly program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing the show. Thank you, listeners, for joining me on a weekly basis now, over 20 years being together. And thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry for your sponsorship of the show. Without you, this show would not be possible. Well, today's an interesting show that I'm looking forward to doing with you. My guest is Bob Blinko. Bob is the president of Frontiers, which has an interesting call, and that is to take the gospel to the most unreached people throughout the world. Again, he's my guest today. Bob, thank you for joining me.
Yes, you're welcome. Good morning, David.
Well, tell us about Frontiers Fellowship and its work. What do you do exactly?
Frontiers is the largest mission in the world, concentrating every missionary on the Muslim world. We are called specifically to bring the hope of Christ, God's love, to Muslims and to plant churches in Muslim homelands. That's all we do. So we in the United States recruit, train, and deploy for churches, our partners, new missionary teams to go farther into the Muslim world than anyone has ever gone before. I was a part of that. I and my family and my team opened the work of the gospel in Iraq in 1991, following the first Gulf War. We were the first American family to live in Iraq.
That's interesting. And what led you to go into Iraq? What was it about that particular area of the world that touched your heart?
It was farther beyond, you know, they used to have the maps that said there'd be dragons from this point on. And we were interested to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to those that said, where most Americans would say that they're hopelessly behind some curtain, impossible to get there. And we thrive on the word impossible. And by God's grace, we were able to reside in northern Iraq until something broke through. We had studied Arabic in Jordan the year before, and so we were already proximate to Iraq, but still it was a pretty big deal to move from the relative safety and security and support in Jordan to the complete unknowns of northern Iraq, where the Kurds live. The Kurds, we say they live between Iraq and a hard place. And something significant has happened in those years. Rejoice with us, David. We've just completed the entire New Testament for the first time in the Kurdish language of northern Iraq. Now, this is a language spoken by fewer than 2 million people, but we ask, is it worth it to bring God's word to a people group spoken by fewer than 2 million people? We say an emphatic yes.
Mm. And you went to Iraq with your family, with your wife, your children? That seems dangerous.
We did go as a family, and we were welcomed into our neighborhood and our town. It's important that you find a welcome in the places that you go. Jesus Christ said, if you don't find the welcome, then go somewhere else. So in our case, I translated for the U.S. military in northern Iraq in the relief effort, and then when that effort came to an end, we simply moved into the neighborhood. Our children played on the streets and learned the language in the natural way by making friends. And then finally, other Americans came and joined us. I did an enormously helpful good work. We vaccinated the animals in northern Iraq in a USAID contract every year, vaccinating tens of thousands of animals in order to restore the health of the life of the sheep, cattle, and goats in northern Iraq.
Mm. So that would have opened the door for you then to be able to share with the people and do the work that you wanted to do.
It was an enormously important part of what we were doing. We were trying to study the way of Paul, who said, I will venture to know nothing except what Christ has done through me to win Gentiles to the obedience of faith through word and deed, sign and wonder, and the Holy Spirit. So these five are a handful of the means by which God does his work of missions. Word is first. We have to open our mouths and tell the story of Jesus Christ, God's love, God's invitation to come home to him. Muslims will not hear this story within their own religion. They have been forbidden to hear about a God who loves them, a God who is a father, a God who has a son who came to die on the cross, these are not subjects which they are going to be taught. It has to come from outside. So that's word, and word is central. But there's also deed, as you've referred to here. The deeds of justice and mercy, the deeds of compassion, which are also fairly unknown in their society, but are richly found in Jesus Christ and in his people. And then, you know what? Signs and wonders. These aspects, too. The dreams that do come, the visions, the breakthrough, the answers to prayer, which astonish people, are also part of their submission to Christ.
Bob Belenko is my guest today. He is the president of Frontier, which is an organization trying to take the love of Jesus to the uttermost ends of the earth. Bob, when we come back, let's talk some more about those signs and wonders, because I think that's something people are fascinated with. They really do happen. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My guest today is Bob Belenko. He is the president of Frontiers. It is a ministry that has as its purpose taking the good news, the love of Jesus, to the uttermost ends of the earth. It's an exciting endeavor. It's something that's not for the faint-hearted, but I think it's something all of us, especially who follow Jesus, need to know about. Bob, again, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Let us know a little bit about your background. From where did you come?
Yes, I was born in Kansas, as were all my family before me. But my father raised us on the West Coast. It was in college where I became a Christian at the University of Oregon. And becoming a Christian was the most important thing that happened in my life. And going to a formal education following that, going to seminary. But it was at seminary that I had a sort of second conversion, which was to missions. Really, I'm the last person I ever thought would be interested or willing to leave all that was familiar to me. And it was still the hardest thing I've ever done. But the incentives that come from obedience to Christ, the values that it created for me, what's in it for me, you might say, in terms of missions, were all looking at me in the scriptures to be blessed to be a blessing like Abraham was, to feel like Paul did when he said these light and momentary afflictions are achieving an eternal glory which far outweighs them all, were rewards which carried me on. So with the love of God compelling and the Holy Spirit empowering and the witness of the martyrs looking down and the promises of God in play, and the rewards of God assuring, and the goodness of God blessing me and my family, we decided to sell our possessions and to cry to say goodbye at an airport and move to the Middle East, where we might find our way flailing along, just like children walking backwards through the wardrobe into another land where it's always winter and never Christmas, and find ourselves, by God's grace, his instruments of God's love to bring about healing, reconciliation of Muslim people to God and to one another. If you can think of anything more exciting than that, you'll have to tell me, because I can't.
Well, it's
no wonder Jordan Grooms said, if God calls me to be a missionary, I would not stoop to be a king.
Well, it is a high calling, and you have our great admiration for honoring that call and doing what you're doing. Again, in the first segment, you mentioned how you moved your family into Iraq in the early 90s as a part of your call. I'm wondering about this. Why exclusively are you focused on the Muslims? Aren't there lots of people throughout the world who've never heard the good news of Jesus' love?
There are indeed, and people in our own country here. Let me put it in this perspective. Hold on to your heartstrings. There are 24 churches for every Starbucks restaurant in the United States. That's a lot of lighthouses, the church being lighthouses. And there has to be a larger goal for the Church of God than just simply have a mission to turn 24 into 25. And there's other places in the United States, in the world, where the gospel has begun. But our purpose, our hope, our mission was to go to those places where there are no lighthouses of the gospel, no word of God, no pushpins in anybody's missionary maps. And that, for us, was much of the Muslim world. Thank be to God, in the last 30 years, there are more missionaries going to the Muslim world. In the beginning, we used to say Muslims to the missionary, missionaries to Muslims are one in a million. It's probably two to a million now, but I can still show you many places where there's no missionary presence within 100 or 1,000 miles. And those are the places we try to go. We try to work in cooperation with all the mission agencies and the great churches in order to map out where the missionaries are, rejoice in the progress of the gospel, but that only helps us to identify where there are no missionaries, where there is no light of the gospel, and that's where we go.
The name is Bob Linko. He is the president of Frontiers, which is a missions organization trying to reach people in the furthest parts of the world, especially Muslims. You know, Bob, many people have said to me over the last couple of weeks, with the coronavirus, they're concerned, is that an evidence of the end times? And I always say, don't be concerned about the end times, be concerned about the ends of the earth. Really, that's the call that Jesus has given us.
That's a good word. The end times are in the Lord's hands, and we pray he would come and fulfill what he promised. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will prepare a feast for all the peoples, a feast of meat and wine. On this mountain, the Lord will remove the shroud of death that covers the nations and wipe away every tear. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and wipe away the tears. I know a lot of people that are crying tonight, David, are hopeless tonight. Yes, in our country, but mainly I'm thinking of the Muslim world, the peoples who are still beyond the Quranic curtain, who have no voice of the gospel, no voice of God's love, no hope in this world or the next. That's where we want to make a difference for them. So we are going to fight this coronavirus with everything we've got, but the problem in the Muslim world is chronic. My high school friends asked me at the recent reunion, well, what do you do, Bob? You know, you're a Christian, and that put me in a small minority of my high school friends. And I said, well, you know, I'm a missionary to Muslims. Uh-huh. Well, before they could move on, I said, my mission, and I'm going to be frank here now, my mission is to stop female genital mutilation in the world. 100 million Muslim girls have had their genitals mutilated, and my mission is to end that. My mission is to end the death penalty for people that convert out of Islam to Christianity. My mission is to end child bride marriages for girls who are married against their will, and 100 other practices of Sharia law, which are the way of Islam. So it's a very this world salvation, as well as eternal life, forgiveness of sins, that they should not perish in the next world.
Bob, has it been dangerous for you and your family trying to bring that message? For example, in your years in Iraq, did you ever have to experience extreme courage to stand up for the truth? How did that work itself out?
That is in the mix. We always have to ask our potential missionaries that their couple should have pillow talk about these subjects. They're certainly what Christ had to explain to his disciples. There was a Gethsemane for Christ. There will be a Gethsemane for everyone that follows him into these places. In our case, it was more of, there were occasions when very bad people were found with ill intent against me, until I finally had to travel with armed guards when I was on the road. My name was posted at checkpoints and my picture, and I was a wanted man by Saddam Hussein. It was a little humiliating to find out that I was wanted for just $20, but that was also part of what made me, realize how little, how small I was in people's eyes.
Well, it does give an insight, though, into how, for many people, Christianity is a threat to any kind of conversion in Muslim territories, and that's what you had to face on a regular basis. When did you move out of Iraq, and where did you go next?
Well, civil war forced us to leave Iraq at the end of 1996. And I resettled lots of Kurdish refugees in the Seattle area for the next 3 years. We think of Jesus, the word of God in Leviticus 19:34, do not mistreat the alien among you, for once you were also strangers in Egypt. You shall love the strangers as you love yourself. And so we were compelled by the compassion of God and his word to help resettle lots of refugees in the United States. And they've become citizens, and they're making a positive contribution to our country. But then I was asked to take a leadership role in Frontiers here in Phoenix, and that was at the Frontiers office at the U.S. Sending base. Note the term, David. This is the sending base. We don't have an international office in the United States. We don't have district superintendents over our missionaries. Our missionaries are held rigorously accountable for godliness, church planting, to stay in the scriptural evangelical ethos. But our part in the United States is pretty simple. We help churches find their bearings and coach them to send their own missionaries to the Muslim world. Our founder, Greg Livingstone, said, Frontiers doesn't have missionaries, churches have missionaries. So our work is always in partnership with sending churches. As churches have matured, they've realized that they can send sometimes entire teams from their own church. So church-based teams has become the up-and-coming new way that churches are involved in missions.
And what does that mean, Bob? Does that mean a church would have 10 people who would go together and plant themselves in a Muslim area?
Yes, or six. Six would be a team from a church. They would choose their own team members, their own team leader, their own location. They would assess their own people's skills and what they would do when they get there. They'd make mid-course adjustments along the way, and we would coach them through this process, doing the two things we think we do best in the world: pre-field coaching and on-field accountability to stay true to the mission that they've identified.
And how many people do you have worldwide right now?
We have 1,100 on the field, adults and about 1,000 children, all living in the 40 restricted access Muslim countries.
And they're living in the same kind of danger that you and your family experienced in Iraq, I would guess, correct?
It depends on the location, but they're all certainly in danger of being expelled from the country. They are facing the kind of sorrow that Isaiah foretold when he said, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief is coming. Our people are quite shocked and have to deal with what they see, the kind of things that I express to my high school friends, which grieve their souls, and then have to keep going. You know, that's a trauma. Our people get traumatized by the daily crisis.
I'm sure. Bob Blinko is my guest today. He is the president of Frontiers, a missions organization trying to take the gospel to the uttermost ends of the earth, especially to specifically Muslim people. Bob, when we come back, I do want to explore the whole idea of the dreams and visions that you talked about in a previous segment to let people know that Jesus really is working, God is supernaturally working, and we see it happening all over the world. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My guest, Bob Blinko, who is the president of Frontiers. It is a missions organization trying to take the gospel of Jesus to the uttermost ends of the earth, especially among Muslims. If you'd like to hear the program from beginning to end in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from beginning to end. Bob, I teased it before the last segment ended, and I know from those with whom I'm talking, the idea of Jesus appearing in dreams and visions to Muslims is happening over and over and over again. It is not a singular phenomenon. It really is happening regularly. Please talk about that. First question, is that really happening? Secondly, give us some insights into how that's happening.
A remarkable number of Muslims have had a dream or a vision of Jesus Christ and been directed to the gospel, to God's love, or to a missionary through those divine encounters. Let me tell you a true story from the front lines. Layla and her husband held their children's hands as they walked away from their home and their village in northern Iraq ahead of ISIS. They could hear in the background the rat-a-tat fire of machine guns as very bad people moved into town and darkened the entire town with their vehicles. But they couldn't run fast enough to stay ahead of the vehicles when, by the Lord's grace, a white pickup truck appeared in front of Layla and her husband and said to them, get in the back and go to a place, and I will take you to a place. And they were taken to the city that we call the City of Refuge. They never saw the white pickup truck again. But when they got to the City of Refuge, they were assigned a tent by the United Nations, and their lives became very tedious, very boring. They were given food, they were given a health check, but their lives were over. They had no picture from their past, no hope for the future. When one night, Jesus Christ appeared to Layla in a dream and said to her, tomorrow you shall see a man and he will tell you the truth about my love. Layla saw in her dream a man that was she would see again tomorrow. And when she saw him the next morning, she called for him to come over. Now this man, let's call him Cornelius, he was a worker who had already been trained by Frontiers to distribute supplies and to keep his eyes open for people that wanted to know more. Through him, this entire family came to faith in Jesus Christ. When they heard the story on the chip that they put on her phone, stories from Christ, stories from the entire Bible, when they heard of Christ's death on the cross, they broke. That's our word for what happened. They gave their life to Christ, and they said to this man, it's not enough that we have been saved, it's though we have been given a white pickup truck. And we are called then to go rescue other people. And so now, dozens of families, entire families, David, in this network of thousands of tents that have been erected in the City of Refuge, have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the great ending of the story is yet to happen. These families have pledged to go back to places in Iraq where no missionaries could make sense of what they were doing there, where no missionaries would be allowed, and bring the hope of Jesus Christ and spread the good news of Jesus Christ virally into the places of Iraq and other countries where they alone could go. And this kind of dream and sequential disciple-making and disciples making disciples is happening in many, many places. If you can think of anything more exciting than that, you'll have to tell me.
Well, it's an astounding story, and what hits me is that you can try to keep the gospel from getting into certain places. You can try to block the airwaves, but you cannot block a dream or a vision if God wants that to happen. And again, what Bob, I'm hearing is it's happening in exponentially large numbers of people in all areas of the world right now. And that's true, right?
Well, we are actually working with other mission agencies and all missionaries to keep track of what we call movements to Christ. The movement is 1,000 or more Muslims who've come to Christ. And nearly all of these movements where Muslims have come to faith in rather large numbers and are making disciples from there on, have started with a kind of a dream or a vision. Now, it's important to remember, dreaming is not discipling. We have to move on from the initial dream, the initial experience, the initial bowing before Christ, and continue on to disciple, and then move on to make disciples who make disciples, so that a movement is not dependent any longer on the Westerner who is on a timeline there and must be expelled at some point. but it's able to be internalized and going by itself. That's the genius of what we see happening in several countries today.
It's remarkable. And obviously what you're saying, too, is they know the language, they know the culture, they know the people, and they're just much more effective than a Westerner.
This is very important. The gospel always arrives from the outside by a stranger. If we knew enough about where your radio audience first came from, how the gospel first came, it came across a river by a stranger that showed up and was an outsider. But the gospel must be internalized then and accepted by people who then become the teachers, the pastors, the preachers, the people who pass on the faith, the fathers, the mothers, who bring the gospel into their own homes. And in that sense, the gospel is internalized into cultures.
Mm. And the whole heart of Frontiers is to take the gospel again to places that are very difficult to reach, especially among Muslims. When you're working with local churches, again, like you alluded earlier, you're trying to get them to find people in their church who are willing to go. And then you equip the Westerner to go, again, as that front line in order to equip the people, and then ultimately the people become the missionaries. Is it that simple?
Well, you've understood it very accurately. Let's call it simple to express. We want to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to the least likely peoples of the world, because this is our small part in God's great commission. Many shall come from east and west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a testimony to all the Gentiles, all the nations, and then the end will come. We speak of the end times. This is the only place in the Bible these six words are used, David, and then the end will come. So we have to think of God's plan to bring the Great Commission to the farthest places. So in this, the 11th hour of history, where are the places where the needs are the greatest? Arguably, it's places like the Muslim world where the gospel has yet to even begun in some Muslim country, some Muslim communities. That's our priority.
Someone once said to me recently that the kingdom clock is ticking, and her perspective was that you've never seen the gospel being taken to places like we are now taking it before. And if Matthew 24:14 is correct, which you just alluded to, that Jesus is not coming back until every tribe and every nation has heard, that means that we have an imperative to take the gospel into the uttermost regions of the world. Are you frustrated with the American church and how we seem to be so focused on self?
Well, this is the Lord's work to bring about revival, isn't it? And we should all be longing for a better, a church that's more prepared to hear the word of God and to obey the word of God. May God give us another chance to be that people that delight in him and are asking what his will is. But I have found his will, and it is not a heavy burden. His burden is light. And I speak now of his burden to send many of our best cross-culturally. It's not for everybody. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on your listeners that they should all be missionaries. But they should all be senders, they should all be goers, they should be generous givers, they should be deep prayer warriors, and they should be welcomers to our country of the people who are refugees and coming here because their own homes are dangerous places.
You know, in my own church that I pastor, I had someone recently say to me, you know, I just don't understand why Christians here in America don't understand more the call for all the nations, you know, make disciples of all the nations, that this gospel is for everyone throughout the world. So a healthy Christian, Bob, is one who does know Jesus, meets the deepest longings of their heart, and who does do local work. But we need to understand that the local and the global must be connected. Both must be a part of the individual and the church's life, correct?
Exactly so, and there's one more thing we need. And if pastors ask me what's the greatest need today, I tell you with some courage here what it is. I think we need more word from the pulpit about the going of the gospel to the places where the needs are the greatest. We need more of the shepherd's voice, David, the voice which would call their people, and then we would awaken the flock. We would see many more missionaries, many more mature churches, many more healthy churches, if we would hear more leadership, that the church pastors and staff would pray, fast, hear from the Holy Spirit, as we saw in Antioch, and they would bring about the conversation with their own people, more directive. As it is today, many of the people in the pews are left on their own to ask whether they've heard the voice of God to be missionaries. We can bring about a sense of more assurance to people in the pews if the pastors will take a leadership role. Look at the centurion that Jesus Christ delighted in. He knew his people so well, he could tell this one to go there and this one to go there. And we need more of that kind of knowledge of our own people.
That voice is Bob Blinko, president of Frontiers. We are now looking at the call of Jesus for the world. That is what Bob's trying to respond to. In our next segment, we'll talk more about how specifically people can get involved. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My guest is Bob Blinko. Bob is the president of Frontiers, which is an organization trying to take the good news of Jesus' love and forgiveness to the world, especially to Muslim people, focused on the Muslim areas of the world, what we call affectionately in missions words, the 1040 window, the place where it's most difficult to reach people today. And Bob, thank you for your time today. It's been great having you on the show. One thing that I wanted to make clear, and people need to realize that when you have a heart for the world and you really want everyone to know the good news of Jesus' forgiving love, even though you can't go physically, you can still send yourself with your money. When you work hard all week long and you earn a salary, when you send money, you're sending yourself, and that's an important part of your work as well, Bob, isn't it?
Certainly is. Our partners that give are not giving a substitute for themselves. They are giving their real selves, and they are genuine partners in the sending of the gospel. They will be rewarded by Christ himself at the end when they are welcomed to the kingdom and find people that they prayed for, that they made a difference in lives simply by the work of sacrificial giving and sending from their homes in the United States, and teaching their children these great values of working for a cause greater than their own retirement.
Yeah, you have that as a part of your work too, I know, in trying to help us teach our kids that the world is our mission field and going to the uttermost ends of the earth is a call for all of us. Talk for a second about the importance of training our children.
Well, let's use the term to be a world Christian, to have a greater sense of my own calling to Christ than to simply be blessed. Being blessed is not the whole of it. It's blessed to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. We have to regard this great blessing that we've received and that we receive in our country for all that it was worth. And all that it is worth is not simply so that we would look forward to the trips that we can take and the values that we create for our own children. What greater value can you give for your children and your loved ones than that they should live for a greater purpose? Here's Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Mm. This is the way. This is the way. It's actually the life-giving way for us, you know. The very thing that we think of as the sacrifice turns out to be the thing that's life-giving for us, which is to live for a greater purpose and to sacrifice for that purpose.
Well, you find yourself when you lose your life in something greater than yourself, and it sure sounds like that's what you're doing. And I think our listeners would love to know, as Frontiers sends and trains people into these Muslim areas, what is it that finally changes the heart of a Muslim to come to understand Jesus' love?
Yes, we've actually participated in surveys about this, asking Muslim background believers, what is it the most thing? And it certainly is God's love. in their own religious system, there's no place for a father who loves them. God does not show up in Muslim heaven. God does not want to sit with you at the table. So these great texts, Luke 14:23, that give us the reality of the gospel, my table shall be filled before my banquet can begin. Go get more people into my banquet. These, if anyone would answer the door, I will sup with him and he with me. These great texts call us to a God who wants us back. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. David, what other deity created in the minds of men or in the demonic have ever had a deity who wants to spend time with people? I tell you, after living in the Buddhist world and in the Muslim world, there are no other deities that men have conjured up. Only Jesus Christ, the real one, is the one who wants you back. And that is what opened my soul to Christ, yours. When I was far from God, I hoped that he would want me back. And that's the same thing that opens up the Muslim world. They do have a conscience. The word in Arabic for conscience is dhamir, D-H-A-M-E-E-R. They want to know God. They go to sleep at night. God comes to them in their night and tells them what he will do for them if in his love. The most important scripture that we found of all of them is, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. My burden is light, and you'll find rest. So this kind of desire that someone would come to Christ and want you back, forgive your sins, find a safe place in your life, relieve your fears, this turns out to be the most important part of the gospel for Muslims.
Mm. Wow. Well, just hearing you talk about it reminds me of the time I came to faith too, and I realized that God wasn't my enemy, that he didn't hate me, that he was indeed, as Jesus called his father, Daddy, and he really does love me deeply and cares for me. That changed my life forever, Bob, and I know it did yours, and it sounds like it's doing the same for many people still throughout the world. And when you give the Bible to people in Muslim areas, are they able to understand it themselves, or do they need still people to teach it to them? How does that work?
Well, it's both. We have to be people who do a lot of the gospel storying for them. We need to memorize stories so that we can actually have the Bible in our hearts. Jesus Christ knew his Bible. Paul knew his Bible. So we have to be people that know the Bible in their language and tell the story. However, you are onto something here. Paul says to Timothy, the scriptures are able to teach you. So the Bible itself is the power of God. The Word of God itself is powerful. And when you find a Muslim who has longed for God and is eager to say, yes, I will study the scriptures, and yes, I have friends that will study with me or family, you bring the Bible and the Word of God, written or audio, this new wonderful technology that brings the Bible in audio forms and that they can listen to over and over again. This also has a power. And yes, they understand the scriptures, the narrative of the scriptures, in wonderful ways that God allows them to understand and have faith in him through the reading of the scriptures. And that really is a great outcome that we want, is that they should hear the Word of God from the missionaries, but also hear it from the Holy Spirit and from the Bible itself.
Mm. Well, I love the ways that some people are being creative, taking the scriptures to different people who don't know how to read right now. And you mentioned it is through audiobooks and through videos, through movies. It's just outstanding to see how some of those things are being translated and taken to people who never would understand otherwise. Again, Bob Blinko is my guest today. He's the president of Frontiers, a missions organization to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost ends of the earth, especially Muslim people. Bob, we don't have much time left, and I want to make sure you have a chance to speak to the listeners today about your heart. We have just about a minute or so left. What would you love to tell our people before I get you off the air and let you go do something else?
Thank you so much, David, and all everyone. I raised my family in the Muslim world. They were able to become people that love people that are not our kind. Jesus Christ said, I have other sheep that are not our kind. We always have to think, who are the people that are still beyond the gospel? Who are the people that are going to come to faith through the witness of regular Christians such as you and I? and bring the hope of Jesus Christ to those far, far away. Some of us are privileged to go. Many of us are privileged to send. Thank you for the opportunity to make new friends today, David.
Bob, thank you for being on the show today. It's just such a challenge. And amidst these times where we talk a lot about viruses and potential death, we have the gift of eternal life through Jesus. And as we rest in Him and we know our life is secure in Him, we need fear nothing. Thank you for being on the show. And listeners, love God and love your neighbor. If you just do those two things, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Talk with you all next week.